Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 175. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. I'm here with my boy.
Man, the Beaner's co-host. Here.
What up, G? What's good, Adam?
I'm in pain.
Holy shit, yes, what happened, dude?
I'm pretty sure I broke one of my ribs.
What the fuck did you do?
I fucking woke up this morning, I had to take a piss, and I walk up the steps, I slip, I hit the wall.
Here at home,
right outside the door. I fucking hit the wall, I fall down on the...
No joke.
The corner of the step.
No.
On my rib.
Oh.
And then the portrait of... my mother-in-law falls on my head and fucking breaks.
No joke.
And fucking Margo comes. I'm like what laying did you there. Do? I just slipped it. I'm like, Margo, help me.
Did you slip straight up?
Or you tripped? You know or? What? She put cream on my, like lotion on my feet the night before and...
You were still greased up?
I just fucking, grease like, tan bird. Grease lightning, dude. Fuck. All day, I was hard time breathing. But I think it was because it was hot.
True.
So I'm going to keep an eye on my fucking side. But, man, it fucking...
Get a good stretch out, dude. That sounds like you could have probably jacked yourself up.
Yeah, dude. It's painful. So, big bruise. And hopefully nothing is... broken.
Yeah, dude, hopefully not, man. Well, let us know how you're doing the next few days, man.
Cuckoo,
how
man.
How was your weekend, dude? Do anything exciting?
I did absolutely nothing, dude. I just played video games and read a little bit and then just nothing really, dude.
Right on, you? Man. I worked this weekend, but I finally let myself, the second job is working at a theater, so I'm cashing in on some fucking, the Golden Globe nomination movie that's, again, they're showing again.
What'd you watch?
So Saturday worked, got out at 10, and at 10 p.m. saw Hacksaw Ridge at 10:30.
I want to see that movie.
It's such a good movie, dude.
Damn it.
Take your pops to watch it. It's a good emotional...
Spider-Man, dude, right?
Yeah, and he did such a great job, dude. Like, if he doesn't win an award, it's a snub in my eyes.
Is it up for awards?
Yeah, nice. And I don't want anything, dude.
I'm going to watch it.
But such a good movie. Again, the emotional tones it hits on every fucking level, the dramatic level, the relationship aspects, the faith aspects, and then it's a camaraderie movie because it's a war movie.
Wow.
It was fucking great, dude. I loved it. And then yesterday worked again, got out at, fuck me, I want to say 4:30, and saw La La Land yesterday after work.
Oh.
It's dude, a good movie.
Come on. It's a musical. Really,
no, it's not. It's just the first 20 minutes, if that is musical-ish. But besides that, it's a lot of jazz.
So it's up for its hype.
It's good. They hype I think you movie. Would cry.
I cry in
it. I like it because the ending, it ended the way it was supposed to. I know a lot of people are like, but blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to spoil it. It ended the way it was supposed to in my eyes. It was fucking a great ending, and they did great, dude.
Well, the movie I'm supposed to see is... with her as Resident Evil. I know she's a big fan. She's watched all of them. We were supposed to go this weekend, but I was lazy. And so that's the movie I have to go see. And then I do want to see the Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Okay.
So
we can watch him too.
I was watching, I caught up on a show called Taboo.
Heard of it. Actually, we were talking about it. We are
Tom Hardy. List.
He comes out in it?
Oh, he directed and he's in it. He's main character.
Oh, Tom Hardy. Okay.
UK. It's kind of hard to... You get used to the way they talk. And it's a show. It's weird. It's good. It's about a guy that comes back from Africa. Mm. And we don't really know what happened in Africa. There's something to do with witches in...
Interesting.
He has some kind of connection with the dead.
Okay.
But he's coming back. His dad dies, and he's trying to get out of everything in order. But the kicker is, he owns a piece of land. This happens in 1854. This is right when the Tea Party.
Oh, and dope. Okay.
We are talking to the Britons to do borders, Canada.
Okay, interesting.
So there's a little patch of land that his dad left him, and it's the patch. This patch of land. Everyone thinks, oh, who gives a fuck?
Mm.
But he knows that this patch of land is either for the Britons, it's Vancouver.
Interesting, okay.
So this is the one direction into China.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it's like a big deal. Like, we fucking need this fucking patch of land, and you're going to give it to us. Like,
oh, okay. So you. Just forcing him off his own land property.
Trying to kill him, yeah. Do this stuff. The United States, like, hey, you know what? They have spies over here. Mm. We want that land. Maybe we can work out something. So
right on. Sounds good.
It's fucking really good.
Netflix.
No, this is going to be, it's regular show right now.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool, man.
But it's good stuff.
I wish I watched more TV. All right, that's man. You said you to hit show up, remind you of a few things besides that happened.
Yeah, well, we had a game.
Did you
today.
Win today?
We did win today. We beat them.
Okay, good, good.
They were not happy. Parents were not happy. Pretty much, this one woman kept shouting at her kid to play hard, and they're traveling. They're fucking idiot. Failing. Rush, you know, what is it? Charge her. And you know what? She did charge, and she charged one of my wrong girls, because this girl's tall and she's solid. Lays her out.
No shit. Straight
fucking
up.
Lays her out, like, on the ground.
Awesome.
And I'm like, what's that? Going to take a timeout to carry her off the fucking basketball court or what? We beat them. Nice. And as they're leaving, I guess my player that laid out that player.
Yeah.
Her mom was talking shit, like, you know, fuck those assholes.
Straight up.
As walking out, like,
wow.
The fucking hallway.
She's heckling you guys.
Yeah, like, up. Down the hallway.
Sore loser.
And, like, what the fuck? And, like, little
she's
kids.
When that keeps on popping up in the crowd. Fuck you.
Fuck you, fat piece of shit. Home. So, we beat them, and, yeah, they weren't happy.
Wow. Well, fuck it, dude. Fuck haters. Fuck all that bullshit, yeah, man. You guys dude. Won. That's all that fucking matters, dude.
So, yeah. I'll do the thing in comic talk.
Okay. Oh, definitely. It has to do with comics. Okay, definitely, man. Okay, that's all I did. That was exciting. Two movies worth checking out, guys. Definitely Hacksaw Ridge and La La Land. They're definitely worth it. So I'm going to try to watch Hidden Figures this week, too. I'm just going to try to make time finally to fucking kill myself with the little time I have and watch a movie, dude. All right, do you want to know what we spoke about? 100 episodes.
100,
today.
Yes.
Okay, episode 75, we named hashtag side dick. This God. One was, in parentheses, the never-ending Twitter love shoutouts. Oh. So there have been a few episodes where we've had our listeners hit us up with just, like, either a letter or emails and, you know, something to talk about topic-wise. So that could have possibly been one of those episodes.
Okay.
Which is good. Those are always nice to have, because we really, this is all we had. We had catching up and shooting the shit.
Nice.
And we have First Sex Facts of 2015, 8 Things Married Couples Get Wrong When It Comes to Sex.
Hmm.
And that's all we had for news.
Okay.
We hit comic news, the death of Deadpool in April. We hit comic movie release dates. We hit new ongoing Image titles. And then we hit our comic reviews. Operation Sin number 1, Swamp Thing number 38, Birthright number 4, The Fade Out number 4, Nail Biter number 9, The Punisher number 14. That's all we hit for that one.
Wow.
So not bad, dude. We hit a good amount. Again, our listeners probably got us through that episode.
Cool.
So we always appreciate that, guys. So some Twitter love and shout-outs real quick. David had his subdued at Empire Esquire on Twitter. He asked about our sound volume on the last episode. He said, hey, now, just listen to episode 174. However, there is an issue with the volume on my end. I have my phone turned up to full volume, and it's not all that loud. Maybe I'm just getting old. So I didn't check it. I should have.
You know what? We do sound checks, and it's kind of difficult on the recorder, but we bumped it up.
We think we know what happened.
Yeah, so this should be a lot louder.
Yes.
And let us know.
Yeah, David, hit us up. Let us know, man. And then last Twitter shout-out I'm going to give you is Eric, fair enough, Lopez, Eric247 on Twitter. He has his own podcast now, one of our listeners.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah, dude. The name of his podcast is the Bearded Underachievers Podcast. They're on Google Play. I subscribe to him in Google Play. I told him once he's up in Stitcher, let me know, because I'm a big Stitcher guy. I listen to all my podcasts there. So just to give him some love, dude. He is more of a wrestling-based podcast. So anyone that's into wrestling, WWE, it's a podcast about wrestling, dude. So
sweet.
Yeah, he's up about, I want to say 17 episodes up, and I listened to the latest one. So yeah, dude, good stuff. And yeah, fucking just shout out to Eric, man. He's sweet. Always supported us. So I thought I'd
check them out, guys, and subscribe to them.
All right, man. Geez, I think that's all I have for show, man. All right, man. I'm gonna have some tech news, I guess, dude. This cool. Caterpillar of robots could become whatever you need.
Whatever I need?
And I'll show you a picture of it.
Okay.
Whatever I need. Well, what if getting a robot was as simple as peeling off the right amount of duct tape? That's the idea behind MIT's new Chainform robot, which takes all kinds of cool shapes in the video below. Coming out of MIT's Tangible Media Lab, Chainform is a high-shape changing interface that uses rich sensing and actuation capability to become what its user needs for it to become. Chainform is a series of interconnected blocks. Each block comes with its own servo motor and touch detection capabilities. Chainform certainly isn't the first interface to decide that a lot of little robots that can be combined and customized in various ways is better and more versatile than having one big machine. It's not the only one with an animal reference point either. While Chainform can resemble a caterpillar, other groups have begun to resemble swarms of spiders. Now, that's what it looks like. It's called Chainform.
Okay.
And it's literally a fucking like caterpillar.
Caterpillar,
dude.
Domino.
And I guess the best way, listeners, to describe it is if you've seen Big Hero 6, the little pieces, like, they're as small as those pieces, and you interconnect them, and each of them has, like, a servo, and they interconnect and work with each other to move on its own.
So I wonder if you, like, they make it where, like, they explode, they come back together.
Probably eventually. Yeah, well, speaking cool. of that.
Okay.
Here's another piece of tech talk I thought I'd bring. Wolverine-inspired material may have humanoid robots self-heal.
Oh.
So this is how Skynet is going to kill us.
Well, we got Arnold Schwarzenegger, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to come save us.
Healing factors are enjoyed by some of the most famous superheroes, and they may one day be built into robots thanks to a team of scientists who have created a self-healing, stretchable, see-through conductive material. I was a super fan of Wolverine since I was very young. Sorry. Chao Wang, a University of California Riverside professor and one of the researchers on the project, told Digital Trends, "I was always thinking if our man-made materials, devices, or actuators can have self-healing properties as well." In a previous study, Christoph Keplinger, a University of Colorado Boulder professor and researcher on the project, showed that a similarly stretchable, transparent, ionic conductor could power artificial muscles. But the self-healing property remained elusive until Wang and his team combined a high ionic strength salt with a polymer containing positively and negatively charged molecules.
Good job, Wang. I know, man, right? We got Skynet.
It's going to kill us, dude.
I should have fucking Terminator song.
Yeah, if I would have known, dude. The resulting material can stretch 50 times to its original size, heal within 24 hours, restore electrical properties almost immediately, and withstand electrical chemical conditions.
24 hours is too long.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have these robots, I don't know if they're going to do soldiers mm-hmm. or something like that. They need it like Wolverine on the spot. Unless you're old man Logan, it takes a little longer. But 24 hours, I think that's I like what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they'll fix those. They'll keep working at it.
Yeah, make it quicker.
But like, if I blow this dude's head off, he's not gonna heal. I mean, I'm not gonna let it heal for 24 hours.
True that.
He's gonna keep stabbing.
Of course, dude. Although researchers have been developing regenerative synthetic gels and polymers for more than 15 years, Wang noted that his material is unique for its many properties. This is the first material to combine self-healing capability together with ionic conductivity, stretchability, and transparency, he said. One of the material's main applications could be to power artificial muscles in soft robots, which can be easily damaged and difficult to repair. Imagine a new class of robots that are based on soft, elastic materials, being powered with stretchable electronic circuits and thus much more closely resemble the elegant design of biology, Keplinger said. This is the type of robot that will soon help us out in the household or help us care for elderly people.
Hmm.
Again.
I mean, did you...
Till it becomes self-aware.
Right. Did you see that video? Speaking
no,
of
go for it. Jump on
speaking
in.
Speaking of elderly, did you see that video on YouTube where... The person that's supposed to be taking care of the old women
mm-hmm.
was yelling at this woman, "Did you feed the dog?"
Yeah.
"I told you to fucking not feed the dog, goddammit." It's like starts fucking smacking her in the head. And this old lady's like crunched over, and it's like, fuck.
No shit.
So somebody put the relative put a spy cam.
Oh.
And this fucking woman was
beat up her grandma?
Fuck. Like, she must have been 80. 90.
Wow, dude.
"And I told you not to feed the fuck dog."
Well, there you go.
Smack, smack.
This is where a fucking killer cyborg would come in handy.
So you're like, "Get your fucking cane and go to bed."
Shit, poor
lady. So it's pretty
man.
Fucked up, but we need, I mean, how do you feel about these type. I mean, they're taking workers. I guess we're gonna build a wall around these guys.
Well, I guess it would be good for people that have lost limbs in the military, shit like that. That have, you know, amputees that, you know, they need a robotic or now robotic synthesized arms and legs. And if, you know, I mean, helps them out. So that's cool.
So they're making it. They're making it for like
the next step in evolution as far as fucking.
I mean, tech wise, you got gnarly. You got self cars now.
Yeah.
Self-driving cars. Uber's going to start getting rid of fucking drivers.
Drivers, yeah.
Cars drive by itself. Mm-hmm. It's Total Recall.
It's Total Recall. It's fucking Terminator all over.
Another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Idiot.
I love it.
All right. Next one we have, dude, we haven't hit for 2017 is Sex Facts, dude.
Yeah.
So this one is going to be 17 women reveal how porn shaped their sexuality.
Okay,
this one came out. Porn can be a complicated topic for women, depending on who you ask. It can be considered a source of sex-positive empowerment or dangerous misogyny. Some argue that the increased popularity of more violent acts makes porn generally bad for women, while others point to feminist porn or porn that encourages embracing sexuality as proof it can be a force for good. However you slice it, there are real-world implications to the way porn depicts sex, especially for young, impressionable viewers just beginning to grow into their sexuality. The average age people are first exposed to porn is around 14. Gain A for you?
Let's see.
I would say, yeah, grade,
Spice Channel, Scrambles.
Yeah, maybe about 10, 12 for me, maybe.
I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
I think that it makes you think that, hey, I'm gonna bang this girl. I need two other dudes. Like, what the fuck?
No, I've never thought that.
I mean, but it's like, you know what I'm thinking. Like, you know,
we were always supposed to come all over their face. I mean, that's what I thought.
But no, I mean, like, and this girl doesn't have big tits, so I don't like this girl. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they got to do something about.
Oh, she likes getting tied up. Maybe I'm supposed to tie her up. I mean,
Craigslist.
There you go. Right.
Right.
Women in porn are often represented as instruments of men's sexual pleasure, which we were talking about. And yes. Recent studies have linked excessive porn watching to unhappy relationships, depression, and objectification of sexual partners. According to Gail Dines, an author and researcher who has studied thousands of porn films, some of the most popular acts depicted in recent years, like double penetration and female gagging, are more extreme than ever.
Okay, the girls don't like, most girls are not going to be down for this kind of...
I don't know, dude. One of my homegirls likes to gag.
Really?
On my cock, which was kind of sexy, dude.
Okay.
Go.
Well, I was thinking about, like, people putting stuff in their mouth and, like...
Well, like the ball gags and,
yeah,
like, and
like shit like that.
BDSM shit. I mean, yeah, bondage. I mean,
bondage yeah. stuff, yes.
Yeah, of course, interpretations of sexual acts depicted on screen and on the page vary depending on the viewer. There's a range of pornographic content out there, and women have their own unique experiences with it. As explicit content becomes easier to obtain, yes, an increasing number of women are seeking it out. To get a sense of how porn influenced their views of sex, we unscientifically polled our female readers and asked them to tell us about the first time they saw XXX content. Experiences range from flipping through an older sibling's nudie mag to catching a 7-inch show of Deep Throat to stumbling upon explicit GIFs online.
Okay.
Here's what 20 women had to say about their first experiences with porn that affected them. First one says, I think being exposed to it at such an early developmental stage has made me take sex less seriously.
Okay. Well, my first porno mag was with Sadie. I remember it perfectly.
Of course, it was going to be Sadie.
It was at these apartments, and Sadie's friend had this magazine, and it was a hairy vagina.
Well, yeah, in the 90s, it was having a full bush. Jesus. Or that's what it was for the most part.
It looked real messy.
Yeah. Number two, I formed a belief that I should enjoy all sex and that women are subservient to men's needs and desires. I was 14, curious and afraid of being left out or called out on not knowing the meaning of a sexual term. It made me question my body and the way I should behave during sexual intercourse. I formed a belief that I should enjoy all sex and that women are subservient to men's needs and desires. Third chick says, my friends and I figured out what blowjobs were. Nice. I was probably around 14 years old. My friends and I figured out what blowjobs were. They sounded quite scary to us, so we decided to do some research to see how they were done. We did a quick internet search and found a couple of low-quality videos and watched them. I think we were thoroughly grossed out, to say the least. To be honest, I personally don't feel that porn has had a negative influence on my sex life. I realize that a lot of scenes in pornography are not realistic and a bit staged or embellished.
Yes. Back then, at that age, you don't think that. I mean, it's like, you don't think, oh, this. I mean, that's all you know. That's all you True. See. Mm-hmm. So that's how you think that it's supposed to go.
That's pretty much what it is. Right? I back you up on that 100%, dude. Next one's going to be, porn helped me have my very first orgasm. I was 18 okay. and it was on TV at college. I watched it one night when my roommate wasn't home. Porn helped me have my very first orgasm. Before then, I wasn't sure if I could. It's how I realized that I'm a visual person when it comes to arousal. Porn's lasting influence is that I still use my imagination to conjure up images when I want to reach orgasm. So yes, it does have its beneficial parts to it too.
Right.
The fifth chick says, I was really confused after. I didn't know what would be expected of me when I became sexually active, which is exactly what you said.
Right.
I was 10 and I accidentally found my stepdad's stack of porn DVDs with my friend. We got really curious about what we would see and what sex was like. I was really confused after. I didn't know what it would be expecting of me when I became
sexually active. These are all women's answers. These are
all women.
Okay.
Number six, it made me think that women have to almost put on a performance and they have to look perfect. Well, yeah.
It's pretty sad.
We don't need to go into her her explanation. That's pretty much self-explanatory. Seventh one says, all it did was confuse me and worry me a bit because it looked rather scary and unnatural. Depends on what type of porn she was watching too. I guess porn can look scary.
If you're looking at, you know, some guy with
a massive
cock and then you go with your boyfriend, which is average, does that affect her getting off? Does that affect her mentality? Like, hey, wait a minute.
It's got to.
This is not like some fucking.
Well, even the first time telescope. You get to third base too, though, it's kind of scary.
Oh, our bases are all different now, bro.
Jesus Christ. Number eight, she says, I had sexual thoughts at a very young age, which so did I. And it made me feel like it was okay. Which, again, I'm a sexual guy now into, I'm fucking 36. And I'm a very sexual guy still now. And
do you blame them from watching porn early?
You know what, dude? I think for me, weird. And I'm going to go into me real quick, which is fucking, okay, the psychology of Josias. I was always a fat fucking kid as my whole fucking life.
I'm so fat.
I never thought I was going to be attractive. And granted, I'm not the best looking guy. I'm a decent looking guy. But I'm confident as fuck. He's a good looking cat. So the confidence and personality sense of humor helps out. Anyways.
Well, it has to, right?
Yeah, Kai, well, I'm hoping. Me too, right? I know, right? Yeah, well, you're married, homie. For me, I guess, when I was learning about my sexuality, a fat fucking little kid and like always thinking like, and then getting into porn and like, wow, I'm never going to have this. I'm never going to, I don't know what's that. No girl's going to want me. I mean, that's pretty much how I felt as a fucking kid. So once I lost all this weight and got more confidence in high school, yeah. And then once I actually had sex, it's like, holy shit, this is beautiful. And I promised myself as a fat little fucking kid, if I ever have sex, I want to have it a lot. Stupid. But, you know, it's like I never thought I would get laid today. I'm a fat little insecure kid.
Right.
So that's my psychosis. Then my psychology is stupid. But
well, it's not stupid because the movies you've seen were men doing women.
Eight packs,
big dicks, and
average looking guy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the guy lasts for like fucking 45 minutes. Even though it's rebooted. But what I'm saying is, I think maybe that may have to play a part in like me too. Like,
well, it the same thing it does to women. The same thing.
That's true.
Models do for women.
That's true.
I mean, it's what's beautiful to certain people and the way. It's a different era now we'll go into because you brought up a great topic for later on.
Well, like all the plastic surgery.
Yeah. And it's okay to do it. It's like, no, you got to be comfortable in your own fucking skin. And a lot of people.
God gave you a small dick and you just got to work with it, guys. Yeah.
And I'm 2 feet tall and I'm still hairy as fuck. Thanks a lot. I'm depressed now again. Thanks a lot. So yeah, there you go, dude. Number nine is going to be, I remember seeing a gif of penetration on AOL when I was 12 years old.
AOL.
Just because she said AOL, I'm going to jump into hers real quick. Okay. I remember seeing a gif of penetration on AOL when I was 12 years old, which I was on AOL in chat rooms, though.
So some dude sent her a dick pic?
Probably. The first time actually watching porn, when I was 18 and wanted to see how sex actually went down, I wanted to know what men liked, what the ideal sexual encounter was, and if my boobs were normal. It didn't really influence my view of sex, just emphasized more, I'm sorry, the importance of not having a gag reflex. Wow.
Jesus.
That's what she was more worried about. 10, it made me more comfortable in my own skin and in bed with my boyfriend. And yes. And, you know, a lot of girls I've been with, I don't want the lights on. It's like, no, I'm a visual guy too. I mean, I can fuck you in the dark. But
I like the dark.
I like the dark too, dude. But it's like, in the dark, during the day, in the morning, it doesn't matter. It's right. Like, dude, I just let me in. I can enjoy it, dude. It's just the whole sexual encounter is fucking just fun to me. It's fun. And sex is fun to me.
That's
it should be, right?
Right.
11, it made me excited for sex. There you go. But also nervous if I couldn't perform certain positions or make my partner orgasm. Do you want to go into hers?
You know, it's kind of... Okay. Sometimes it's a little discouraging if, you know, you're there for 45 minutes and nothing's happening.
True that, true that.
You know, you get kind of mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck's the matter with you? No, bitch, what's the matter with you?
Mm. Idiot, I know, right? Idiot.
I already come twice.
No, because then you got to be nice and be like,
right,
babe, it's me, it's not you.
Well, but at that time, you've already busted. Most of the time, most men. 45 minutes, come on.
Okay,
at least twice.
I need to get... I'm not going to have anybody out there. But I couldn't go into this. It would be hilarious to have girls like, yeah, that asshole doesn't fucking come. Like, no matter what I do, he just won't fucking come. He made me come like 5 times, but this asshole won't come for me.
I'll just take care of myself, love.
Well, there you go. That's the title of the show. Okay. Number 12. It felt grossed out, embarrassed, and turned off all in one. Okay. So, yeah, again, it could
no
be off.
No one likes that girl.
13. My first porn was Deep Throat. Big difference in how porn was then and how it is now. Agreed.
Wow.
We don't need to go into that one. Number 14, it gave me a similar view to most people viewing it the first time. Unrealistic and oftentimes portraying a very dominant male and a more submissive female. I guess back then, yes. But now you see more women in the...
Well, it all depends on what the man...
But now you can...
Whoever's watching...
Now you can actually search what you want too, though.
Yeah,
back then you couldn't. So, I mean...
People had to pay... Remember going to the video store?
The black boxes.
Big boxes, bro.
Yes.
And I went to
behind the fucking bead screen.
Well, apparently when I was going to the store, you're supposed to just write the number. You put the big box in this little case that's in the porno place. Do not bring the fucking...
Yeah.
I used to bring them out. I would have a small DVD trying to cover this humongous 5 box.
5 huge boxes.
Here you go. And it's always a cute video store
cashier person.
Like, really, bro?
Oh, man, dude.
I know you're a pervert, but can you fucking read?
That's
write the number down.
Oh, man. I love that, by the way. Number 15, granted, I've done that too. And we can't knock you. Number 15, I wanted to feel the excitement of the people, of these people. I'm sorry. I wanted to feel the excitement these people were feeling. So there you go. Plain and simple. 16 says, the video made me believe that I was expected to do what my boyfriend wanted, whether I enjoyed it or not. See, that's gotta suck, dude. 17, it didn't relate to anything at all I had experienced with actual sex. And that's it, dude. Those are 17, dude, real quick. So those were interesting. Now, for guys, would be different. But again, even actors, though, we saw growing up, we didn't have a lot of chubby or pudgy actors, necessarily. And even actresses, like beautiful people, beautiful fucking people, dude.
Right.
Like, we're down with norm and, you know, be comfortable in your fucking skin. And we preach, be yourself. Don't put on a show for fucking anybody, dude. Do something because of you, you know. So it can change or help the
Well, there's
person.
So many fetishes right now. You got, you know, big women.
And back to the sex. Yeah. BBWs, and then the fetishes. Exactly, dude. People like hair pulling. Or like to pull hair. People like choking. Girls have asked me to choke them.
Jesus.
If Wayne Brady's got to choke a bitch.
Okay.
All right, man. And on that note, guys, sorry we went long. I haven't hit sex in a while, dude. And those ones were kind of interesting.
They were interesting.
I mean, good enough to talk about, dude. And I didn't want to talk about all guys, but the female's perspective is always good.
Yes.
All right, man. Commercials, I guess.
Cool. Go to our website, thecomicsyndicate.com. You'll find two banners, one orange, one black. Hit the orange if you're buying anything on Amazon. Bookmark it so that you never forget, and when you click on it, you just go directly to it. Buy whatever you're buying. Amazon is way better than going to the fucking store, dealing with people. We get a little piece of it. We appreciate everybody that's helped us. Also, if you're getting, if you're doing a lot of shopping, you might as well get free shipping on all that good stuff.
Yep. Amazon Prime, guys. Go to thecomicsyndicate.com, hit the Amazon banner, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. You guys can find us anywhere on any podcast app. Just type in The Comic Syndicate. Follow us on Facebook, Comic Syndicate. Like us there. Share the podcast more than anything. Everyone that's has helped us out with just purchasing on Amazon, we love you guys. We appreciate it. And we will be right back with Comic Talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to The Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to The Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to The Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to The Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on The Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to The Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Okay, we're back, and we're doing some comic talk, and all last week it rained, and I work with kids, and
outdoors, you're a coach, right?
So we couldn't really go outside. So instead of watching a
rainy day games,
and then I was like, you know what? Let's talk about it. Well, it was superhero week last week. So
at your school,
So on Friday they got to wear whatever the fuck they wanted to wear, and I said, you know, let's talk about some comics. Uh-huh. Well, I first wanted to talk about was, you know what, female characters and how our time right now we have such powerful, great writers writing mm-hmm. female characters that nobody fucking knows about.
True.
And then I talked to the kids about it, different ages, and they all gave me their, I dumbed it down and I dumbed it
good, up. Good, good, good.
And, you know, I said, you know what? I first wanted to start with like X-23.
Yes.
Laura. And then I had third graders.
Did anybody know who she was?
No.
They're going to know who she is.
Yes. I explained that. I'm like, I
was. Well,
like,
it's a rated R movie, so they won't get to know who she is. Right. Maybe apparently not. Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to put the comic story in.
Yeah.
I said, okay, let's try it out. Let's see what this guy talks about. Mm-hmm. He talks about X-23, does a really good job. But anytime dealing with Wolverine, it's going to be a lot of killing.
Yeah.
And the first
and
fucking
a lot of pain, dude, just like emotional.
Yeah. A lot of
mentally, emotionally, yeah.
The first couple panels were just him slicing through people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I can't show this to third graders.
No.
So I stopped it and I explained. I wrote down, okay, we have a character, really strong female character, X-23.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who's that? And I go, okay, let me write a name up on top that we all know. Mm. And we write Wolverine. Oh, I know Wolverine. And then I put an arrow to X-23 and go, okay, well, this is I explained the whole damn story to him.
Good, good.
And, I said, now that Wolverine's gone, we have a very strong female Wolverine now.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of people don't get to see these because when you talk about superheroes, what do you see on the poster? You see fucking Iron Man. You see Captain America. You see maybe a little picture of
Black Widow.
Black Widow, yes. And why is that? And then we had a discussion, you know.
Good. Did any of the kids answer?
They did. Yeah. They gave good answers. So, well, what did they say? They said, well, because, you know, when we, I don't know, they said because maybe that's what we think of big muscles in superheroes. True. That's what the third graders, the bigger grades started thinking about it more. And they said, the bigger grades, and they're like, well, it's kind of sexist, right?
There you go. Yeah.
And I go, it is, you know, back then, you know, you had strong white heroes.
That's pretty much what it is, yeah. We have diversity now, which is awesome.
A lot of diversity. And I told him that, too. We got Miss Marvel, and she's, like, Indian or something.
Yeah.
And we have Storm. She's black. And these characters are leaders of big teams.
Yeah.
That you don't – everybody knows X-Men. Yeah. I love X-Men. Well, Storm's the leader of X-Men.
Yeah.
Medusa, she's the leader of Inhumans.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really cool to get them thinking like
awesome,
the girls in the room.
Good, dude.
So I go, you know, girls, you know, it's not all about big muscles and there's a lot of good female characters out there that you should be reading and check
really
them out.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
So it was really good.
Awesome, man. Well, good on really fucking good. You, man.
I was bored. I needed to do something.
I'm fucking proud of you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Good, man. Okay, well, props, man.
Thanks, bro.
All right, for news then, that's it, man. I fucking like that, man. You almost choked me up here, man. You got a heart now all of a sudden.
Right?
And you're a good teacher. Wow,
I don't know about the good teacher.
All right, comic news, dude. Lego Batman movie expected to top 50 Shades Darker on opening weekend. Fuck yes, it better.
What happened? Say again?
Lego Batman movie expected to top 50 Shades Darker on opening week.
I thought it was already out.
No, it should come out February. Yeah, February, dude.
Sweet. I don't know which
day. This one we didn't get to hit last week, dude. Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett's Good Omens gets 2018 TV series.
And Neil Gaiman's going to be behind it.
Yeah.
And if you haven't read that, that's one of the first books I read.
Such a great book.
Terry Pratchett, too. Yeah. Pratchett is a funny motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, dude. Definitely. They work so good together, dude. And then last one we didn't get to hit, too, last week. Miles Morales confirmed as lead in animated Spider-Man film.
Finally. It's Marvel coming out with some animated movies.
Well, this is actually still under Fox.
Boo.
But it's going to be an animated movie animated movie.
There was no clause like, hey, you know what? You can have Peter Parker, but we still have Miles Morales.
I don't know, dude. Hopefully Marvel is still behind it.
Okay.
Still. Or at least Marvel Cinematic.
Damn it.
Marvel Studios, I guess. And then for video games, dude, Marvel Square Enix joined forces on Avengers game.
Oh, I saw that too.
Now, we didn't see much. We just know they're working together. Now, Square Enix is big, known for Final Fantasy games. And so, we love our Final Fantasy games. I mean, granted, I don't play video games. I haven't played them in ages, but
I think that it's something that needed to be done.
Yeah.
A lot of superhero video games suck, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. Spider-Man,
Yeah.
X-Men, they're terrible.
Yeah.
And they finally branched out to a company that makes good games. So hopefully this it won't suck.
All right, man. And fuck it, dude. That's all I got. I guess John Layman and Sam Keith team on Eleanor and the Egret from Aftershock. I'm a huge Sam Keith fan. He used to do the Max. I love his art. I haven't seen his art in a long time, so that he's going to be working on the new comic. It looks gorgeous already.
Sweet.
So that's all I got, man. Start up anywhere you want.
Cool. I read Inhumans versus X-Men number 3.
Good, dude. I was going to go for it.
Oh, you were
no, no. Go. You handle.
So we gave the
Well, let me jump into 2 first.
Go for it.
You're going to do 3?
I'll do 3, you do 2.
Okay, so that way we'll go in concession then. Okay, Inhumans versus X-Men number 2 starts off. It's written by Jeff Lemire and Charles Soule. Leonel Francis Yu is the artist, I'm sorry. Gary Alanguian does the inks. David Kuro is the colorist. It's just really cool because after getting news from Beast that Earth will be an uninhabitable for mutants, the X-Men go straight to work and really go straight after the Inhumans in their house at their own
home.
Conversation between Medusa and Human Torch goes on, and she's like, maybe they're here to talk. The X-Men are heroes after all. And then Human Torch answers back, like, not all of them. And there's a panel of Sabretooth and fucking Magneto, like, just ready to rip ass. So it was really cool, because now as Medusa sends Johnny Storm away to help the civilians of Neo-Tilin, she prepares for this attack, and she's, like, suiting up. And it's really cool, because we see her getting dressed and putting, like, ribbons in her hair.
Yes.
And these ribbons are like shards of some sort.
It's pretty badass. Looks dope.
And I didn't get it right away, dude. But it was really cool. So anyways, dude, we also see some sort of game plan she has in case the X-Men do take over, you two. I need both of you guys to get out of here. 2 new Inhumans.
ISO.
Yes, ISO and
Inferno.
Inferno, yes, dude. It's very cool, dude. And the rest of the Inhumans have to keep the X-Men from fucking breaking in, pretty much, for the most part. It's really cool, though, but the X-Men have their home on lockdown. They walk in with a game plan. They take out the strongest members right away. They have each character with their own special abilities. They have Ileana teleporting people the fuck out. Into Limbo, hence yes, the one you reviewed last week. And then we have a Nightcrawler. Bamfing like a motherfucker. Bamfing everyone. So it's cool jumping all over the place. The X-Men literally have what they want for the most part.
Right.
So it's really cool now because it pretty much ends like that, dude. Just like the X-Men on top of this one, dude. And then her failsafe is pretty much the kids getting away. Iso and...
Inferno.
And it looks like they're getting away, and Storm sends Logan, X-23, Laura, after the kids. And Laura wants to kill these kids. Like, oh, they're not going to get away from me.
Right.
They end up slipping away, but where they teleport to is where Forge is and where Old Man Logan is. And I won't spoil anything because that's the next issue you're going to jump into right now. But it's really cool. Yeah, Logan is waiting for them. That's where issue number two ends.
Just to piggyback on that, really cool panels because you got Human Torch getting ripped apart by fucking Sabretooth.
Like, oh, that was dope, dude.
Let's go, bitch. You want to fight? All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
You don't want a piece of me.
Yeah.
You should just fucking walk away.
I like it, dude. And Human Torch scraps with him, dude. He fucks him up, too. Like, burns him up, singes him up. So it was nice. Yeah, man, go ahead, start it up.
Cool,
man.
Right into this one, we gave the last defense to get rid of... So we find out in this one that Logan is waiting for these guys. And Forge has made this machine. Number three. Yeah, made this machine to get rid of the
Terrigen Mist
and to suck it all in this machine and make it into a solid form to get rid of it. We got the two Inhumans. We got Iso and Inferno, which they broke through. They find Logan there, and Logan's like, all right, let's fucking talk about this. I don't want to fucking hurt you guys.
Yeah.
And they start scrapping. It's like, you know what, fucking. So they start fighting, and these two... Inhumans
are new humans. These are youngsters that really are not the most powerful.
But they hold their own,
which is dope to see.
And
I really enjoyed that, dude.
So they get the best of them. They destroy Forge's machine. Yeah. Chick.
So Iso is going one on one against Forge, and she is able to take him out. Forge is
a fucking waste of time, dude.
Well, he's a scientist more than anything, a mechanic, and it's cool. The Inferno scene is fucking pretty dope to see.
Yeah, he fucking lights him up.
Yeah, he pretty much stabs his own Wolverine. He forces Wolverine to stab him. Or his body, his name is Inferno, he's able to...
push it back out.
Make everything like molten lava. And it's really cool. Yeah, push it out. And he kind of just like singes Old Man Logan for the most part.
Yeah, like blisters nice all over.
Yeah.
So Logan's out. And, you know... they're like, you know what? We destroyed it. We need to take Forge with us because this motherfucker just built it again. So they take him with them. We head back to the big guns that are trapped in Limbo. And
which is everyone, dude. Which is Medusa.
All the big heads, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're there. They're like, you know what? I know they didn't get all the new humans.
Which are the youngsters that the Terrigen Mist, once it affects you, you become a new human, unlocking your abilities. Whatever it might be, yeah.
So they're kind of like, you know what, they're going to pick up the slack. We'll get out of this limbo, but we got to make sure. I have a pretty good idea. They'll help us out here. They'll take it. Iso and Inferno, they beat up Logan, like I said, but they call up another...
Inhuman. New human, I guess, too. Yeah.
To help them gather a team to take back their
Attilan, their home.
Their home.
Yeah.
And they call Miss Marvel, and she gets back to it.
She's pissed. She's pissed because the X-Men did
attack. She is. And so she texts everybody like, hey, you know what? I need some people help us out here. We need to take it back so we can do it. We can plan a counterattack.
She calls Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. It was this one squad.
Comic book too.
Yeah. She calls Reader. I fucking love the fuck out of Reader.
Yes.
She calls one of the girls from Synapse, I believe, from fucking Uncanny Avengers. So all the new humans, they're going to get a team together now to fight.
Counterattack. And then we have Karnak,
yeah. He's been trapped.
In Jean's illusions, and he finds his way out of it. Like, that's his thing. Like, guys, they needed to really take that guy... Mm. And put him away.
Get him out of this situation.
Very powerful. So he finds his way out of Jean's illusions. The X-Men are searching for Forge and to get the machine running again. And they know that the Inhumans will eventually get the fuck out of Limbo.
Yeah.
And they're pissed. They're like, you know what? They're going to be mad. They're going to come at us hard. So it was a great issue. really like this event, and I know I'm going to hate it once it comes to an end.
Me too. And then it's Charles Soule, which we love, and Jeff Lemire both fucking writing it. And they're doing a good job. Now, the conflict is this Terrigen mist that has polluted the Earth is making humans, regular humans, into inhumans, giving them abilities. But the thing about this Terrigen mist is it's killing off fucking mutants.
So the problem I don't get is why don't they just let them take that mist away?
Because the Inhumans look at it like, nope, this is how we create
more. That's
this is
bullshit, how we're gonna keep. You're killing.
I agree.
You're killing us.
And that's why the X-Men, that's why I love the conflict, because I kind of get like, okay, if the Inhumans would have came up with something like, okay, let's keep the mist and convert it into something else so we can do it amongst our own people.
Control it.
Would be nice. But they didn't even give that option.
Well, it's Beast, like, is being a bitch.
He's being a pussy straight up.
So
I really like that conflict though, dude. And it's really good because issue number two, the X-Men were on point kicking ass. And now issue number three, we see, you know,
it's the ties are turning.
Yeah, and I kind of like it, dude. And how it's going to resolve, I don't know. All right, man. The next one I'm going to hit is going to be Daredevil number 16, Charles Soule. We're still talking of him. He's the writer of this one. Goran Suzuka is the artist. Matt Mila is the inker. I love this dude. It's over Blindspot's previous tragedy in the prior arc. And there was a villain called Muse, and he was killing, speaking of Inhumans, he was killing Inhumans particularly and making abstract fucking art with them, using their blood.
Wow.
Or putting them in different poses, positions, just like, he was a fucked up villain, dude. And so prior issue, or arc again, it was a Blindspot, which is Matt Murdock, of Daredevil's protege, had to go one-on-one against fucking Muse, and Muse ends up fucking poking his fucking eyes out, dude, gouging his fucking
Jesus.
Eyes, making him fucking blind, dude. So they're finally able to capture him. The end of that arc should have been one of my books of the year last year, because even though Blindspot's fucking blind now, Daredevil walks up to his friend, you know, and a bunch of cops are there. He's like, how many did we save? He's like, we saved over 100, man.
Oh, nice.
He's like, okay, then it was all worth it. And just that emotional, like, fuck, Daredevil has a good protege. That's why Daredevil is Daredevil. But because of that now, it turns into, like, he feels so much guilt over it. Like, fuck, I should have never let this young kid follow me. I should have never trained him. So I'm going to put a bounty out on myself. So last issue, that's what he did. And a bunch of villains, B, C characters, are fucking coming after him. He's able to take them all out. Ups the fucking bounty again
to get that guy?
On his own self. Nah, they captured the other guy. So at the end of that arc, so Muse is in custody, and this arc is like Daredevil. Matt Murdock has a plan, an idea. He's looking for one particular villain. The end of the issue, last one, issue number 15, is pretty much one in particular comes out that he's egging on, and it's Bullseye.
Ooh.
So this one starts off with Bullseye, and it's like Matt Murdock or Daredevil. He's like, fuck. He's up on the fucking rooftop. He's got a fucking sniper rifle. Like, he has me fucking dead. Like, should I just fucking end it now? Like, he's got me. He's Bullseye for a fucking reason.
Right.
And, like, he keeps talking himself out of it. Like, no. And that's a Daredevil in him. That's a Matt Murdock in him. He's always a fucking fighter. He's able to block the shot. And they have a scrap. And Daredevil is so fucking pissed off. He fucking beats the shit out of fucking Bullseye. This is the cat he wanted, because he knows Bullseye had a serum that was able to copy Matt Murdock's abilities, which is radar type of senses. Mm-hmm. He beats the shit out of Bullseye to get this antidote or this fucking serum so he can use it on his friend, because he feels
nice. That guilt.
So that was the point of this whole story. And this is an arc. The arc barely started last issue. But now it ends. He goes to the hospital with the serum for his friend. He's got to be like fucking 17, 18-year-old Asian fucking kid. Mm-hmm. Immigrant Asian kid to top fucking things off. Diversity in comics. Again, love it, dude. And so once he goes to the hospital, it's like the nurse is like, nope, he's been moved in. We don't know where he's at. And he's like, fuck. And he looks at the vial like, shit. Now I gotta find this kid. It ends like that, but Daredevil wanted to help out more. That's pretty much what it is.
Bullseye is coming out with his own comic too.
Soon, yeah, and Kingpin too, and Elektra. Yeah.
So, very cool. I read Teen Titans number 4. I liked it. It was pretty good. We got Ra's al isn't happy to see Damon and needs to be punished. Beast Boy finds the hideout. Ra's al's questioning Batman's love for Damon. Like, you know, this guy, where's your fucking daddy? he's not even here, not helping you out, and how much Ra's al has given Damian, like, I've given you
pretty much everything. I trained you, yeah.
There's a cool couple panels. He shows Damian and Mir and asks him who he wants to become. In one panel, it's Ra's al facing Ra's al. Does Damian want to become like Ra's al Ghul?
Oh, okay.
And then the other panel, it's Batman.
So which path he wants to follow?
Your life? Which path do you want to go on? It was really cool. And Damian's cousin is there with her crew, and a fight is challenged. And if Damian wins, she calls off her attack on his friends.
Okay.
And if she wins, he dies. So back with the Teen Titans, they are struggling with the idea of saving Damian. Beast Boy gives a heartwarming speech on they can't lose another Robin.
Oh, fucking
since it. They think Tim Drake is dead.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes, yes.
However, Damian has a fight on his hands, and she keeps mocking him during this fight, like trying to get him off his game. Mm-hmm. Pretty much Damian gets the better of her, and instead of killing her, he lets her go and gets a knife in the back. And he's taken away. I forgot her name, but I'm just keep calling her cousin. Mm-hmm. Her team starts to have second thoughts on her being their leader, mm-hmm. since she only cares about the approval of Ra's al Ghul, and pretty much true fuck that. Them.
Yeah.
Damian is left in chains, and his friends come to break him out. I really liked it. It was a good issue. You can see the kind of man Damian is going to become, and I think it's not going to be like Ra's al or Batman, but a hero of his own accord, like all the other Robins
good.
Before him.
Awesome. Nicely put, dude.
So the influence is...
Good, good, man.
It's good. It was a good comic.
Awesome, man. Very cool, dude. I got to fucking start fucking catching up on those ones, dude. You made that sound fucking great already, though, dude.
I wish the art was back the way it was.
Oh, I know. That original artist was fucking sick, dude. Jesus. Last one I'm going to hit is going to be Silver Surfer Requiem number 2 of 4. This one I'm going to do once every week from here on out, guys. It's a great fucking title. It came out in fucking 2008. Michael J. Straczynski is the... writer, 10 grand again, I love. Assad Ribic as the artist, not as refined of an artist as he was for Secret Wars.
Okay.
Like, or even for fucking Thor. This is
before
Thor.
All that stuff.
Yeah, like okay. Even when he started doing the Thor run, the Mighty Thor.
Yeah.
His art was like, you can tell, like, it's gorgeous, more refined. Like, he found his, like, fucking, his calling card nice. On his art. This one you can still tell it's a little rough, but it's still beautiful to mm-hmm. see his early work. So I really like it, dude. So now Silver Surfer, it starts off pretty much actually with Spider-Man of all people fucking in New York City, and some giant fucking mech fucking guy comes out. He's like, oh shit, I'm fucked. He keeps webbing it. He's like, nothing I'm doing, I can't stop this asshole. They turn a fucking corner. He's like, all right, this ends right now. And this is Peter Parker, Spider-Man fucking talking to this mech guy. And it's like, oh shit, I'm fucked. And the guy stops. He's like, okay, that's not me. He looks back and it's Silver Surfer. He's like, you don't belong here. Like, and tells the mech, stop.
Mm.
No, I'm not going to stop. And he just blasts him, and he's like, all right.
Dunsky.
Silver Surfer's like, hey, good to see you again. And he takes off. Spider-Man starts fucking catching up to him. Hey, man, good to have you back in town. Just being Peter Parker. Good to have you back in town. How you been, man? You want to go grab a bite? It's like, dude, I got stuff to do. He's about to take off, and he's like, dude, I'm running out of places to web. Talk to me a little bit. So they finally meet on a rooftop, and it's really cool. He's like... and Silver Surfer does not fucking tell him anything at all. He's like, Spider-Man's like, what's wrong, man? I know something's bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. It's like, no, man, there's got to be something. I know. He's like, okay, I have to do something for this world. This is my adopted world. I want to give you guys something, but I don't know what I can give you guys. You guys are... all the same. You guys are all humans. You guys are all people, but yet you treat each other so fucking bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, if you want to help me out, help me, give me an idea of how to help out your fucking people. And it's funny because Peter Parker being fucking Peter Parker, Spider-Man, like joking around like, well, we can get rid of that. We can get rid of this. He's like, that probably won't help. But like, just the answers are fucking stupid. And him not necessarily joking around, but him being Peter Parker. So it's really cool. And it's the conversation they have is really good because that's the conflict, dude. He's like, there's got to be something to fix before I go. That's how Silver Surfer feels about it. And again, the conversation they have is great. And The dialogue is just beautiful. I'm not going to go too much into it, but it is great. And he's like, well, you know what? They can't even come to terms. Like, Spider-Man can't give him an answer. Like, I don't know how you can help fix this fucked up world we live in. And he's like, okay, then I'm done all I can do. He's like, I'm about to take off. He's like, before you take off, I got a question about your board, man. Why the fuck a surfboard? He's like, you know, you can make anything and you use a surfboard. He's like, when I'm out in space flying around, he's like, I don't need to be contained in a spaceship. I don't want to be in a shell. He's like, this allows me to enjoy the galaxies.
Nice.
And it's just nice. He's like, you know what? Would you like to join me? I can give you a little piece of my power so you can experience what I experience. He's like, no, I really can't. He's like, but I think I know somebody who would. Would you mind? He's like, no. He's like, I'll be right back. Pulls up Mary Jane. She's like, hi, what do I call you? He's like, I was once Norrin Rad. And it's cool because once he says that, like, she's an all-seeing Silver Surfer. Like, how do I talk to this fucking guy? And it's really cool because even Spider-Man fucking feels bad, dude. He's like, I never bothered to ask his name. I always thought he was Silver Surfer. So it's like, and he's a cosmic being, so it's like, that's what's cool to see. It's cool, so Silver Surfer gives her some cosmic powers. She's gone for like an hour. And it's cool because he's like, you know, I can see, you know, that you want to do this. So she takes off and it's great, and she comes back and just like, I can see everything with these cosmic powers. I can see the world's heart beating. I can see this. I can see that. He's like, and Spider-Man's like, I totally appreciate this for her, man.
He doesn't take her in space?
No. He's like, you won't fall. You won't get hurt. The board will listen to you wherever you want to go. And he lets her take off on her fucking surfboard. And it's just Spider-Man fucking Silver Surfer on the building. She finally comes back and, you know, she's like, oh, wow, is it beautiful? So they're about to take off. He's like, thanks a lot, Silver Surfer. I totally appreciate this. And by this point, Peter's figured it out, like, fuck, you're going to die. Like, you're dying. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. So that emotional kick was fucking nice, dude. And so he's like, you know what? I think I have an idea, something you can do. He's like, and so they have a brief conversation. He's like, you know what? I think I can do that. So what Spider-Man tells him to do or asks him to do, he's like, you want to save the world before you take off. And the way they phrase it is nice. It's like, before you take off. And he's like, so Silver Surfer uses his powers. And around the world, uses his powers just blast up into the air. And for 5 minutes, he gives the world 5 minutes of peace, of tranquility, of like, fuck, there's no need for fighting. There's no need for arguing, for killing, for anything. And it's beautiful because, like, you can see, like, and even the inner monologue that Peter Parker, Spider-Man has is, like, all over the world, people are experiencing the same thing.
Nice.
It kind of felt like fucking Christmas the way it was written, because he's like, that one day where we all had, you know, everyone was happy for 5 fucking minutes. And he fucking collapses. He's like, hey, man, are you okay? He's like, no, I'm fine. He's like, I just want to thank you for giving me this to them, like, I wasn't able to save them, but I gave him 5 minutes of what peace felt like. Nice. So very, very, very cool, dude. And as he's taken off, he's like, I appreciate it, Spider-Man. Thanks a lot, dude. And then Spider-Man's last thing I'm going to fucking say is, as he rose into the sky, though, how sad that we did not know him better. How sad that his voice was heard so little when he had so much to say. Why do we always realize that these things when it is too late to do anything about it? So just very cool. And he knows, like, fuck, homeboy's going to die. So that's it, man. Issue number 2. Great worth checking out
there. Very cool, man. That's all I got for my stuff.
Yeah, same here, man. All right, dude. All right, well, happy fucking Monday. All right, you guys can find my boy, Adam.
You can find me at Mem the Beaner on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys can find me at For the Villain on Twitter. You guys can find me at Comic Syndicate on Fuck Me. And you know what? Go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Share the podcast, rate the podcast, share the fucking podcast, guys. More than anything, dude, with like-minded people. The first half of the show, rock it. We'll catch you next week. Peace out.